The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the house. How was your 4th of July, Kelly?
It was good. It was good. I think I saw a whole 2 fireworks, but it was great.
I saw a whole 0.
I didn't see any except for my drive 0. Home last night.
I saw the people going in. I saw the people coming back. Yeah, going out, I should say, and coming back, but I didn't see any myself. Which is how I like a 4th of July.
You were down on the Strip?
Yes, I was indeed.
How busy was it?
So busy.
Really? Okay.
Oh, my God.
Because I was over at the Palms and it was dead.
Well, that I would imagine.
Right. Just like it's just amazing the difference 200 yards makes or whatever.
That's right. A driver away. The Strip absolutely packed for the fireworks. And there are multiple locations here in Las Vegas, too. It's not just in one spot. So everywhere you turn your head, there's fireworks, it seems like. But went off, I believe, without incident yesterday. Don't hold me to that, but I think so, as far as I can tell. We have a lot on the show today here on this post-July 4th, July 5th. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. I want to get to something Jason and I talked about yesterday off the top here in a moment. Will Hill with his favorite baseball plays of the day. It's specifically, well, something I'll tease here at the top as well regarding Shohei bets, because I know Will has an opinion now about the latest spate of Angels injuries. We'll get into that momentarily. Mike Pritchard on football. Drew Dinsick will join us. Talk tennis and National Football League. Maybe some NBA with him. See what's on his mind anyway. Maybe some Tour de France, Kelly. I don't know. We'll see. See what's happening with Drewski.
I forgot that's still a thing.
Remember that? Tour de France? 3 minutes of the Tour de France last week?
Lance Armstrong. You can say whatever you want about that guy, but he made that sport famous in the United States, or relative, I guess, in the United States, and we have not cared since.
Yeah. With Greg LeMond before that. And then Lance Armstrong. So yesterday, a few things. One, let's get back to yesterday's show. We ended yesterday's show with Jason Weingarten on. We talked about the fade of Adam Wainwright. Not only the fate of Adam Wainwright, but the fade of Adam Wainwright. And I hope everybody jumped on that. And I don't usually go back to the previous day and talk about bets, but this is one of these moments again where I want to stress, you know, sports betting doesn't have to be rocket science, right? It doesn't have to be splitting the atom. I know a lot of us, Kelly does golf very systematically. I do tennis very systematically. But sometimes sports betting is just sort of what's right in front of you, and it's easy peasy. And Adam Wainwright is coming in this long list of pitchers on the downside of their careers. In some cases, they're just not good at all. But a lot of guys who were once great and then ended, you know, just with just a horrible stretch, and you're like, oh, this is sad to watch. But as bettors, we must fade them. Tim Lincecum, you know, 2-time Cy Young Award winner, 3-time World Series champion, when he finished his career, I should say, with the Angels, leaps to mind how it was just so, you know, for me as a Giants guy, just be like, oh, I guess I got to fade Lincecum again. This is tough for my heart, but great for the bankroll. Well, Adam Wainwright, sitting on 198 wins, and we talked about it yesterday extensively, 10.7% K rate going into yesterday's game. The Marlins were about -175 consensus in the end. And it was basically like, look, value's value. I know it's a lot of juice for a lot of people, but you got to seize these moments in time. And so, yes, it worked out. Before you could blink, it was 3-0 Marlins. It was 15-0 at one point. Then ends 15-2. And Wainwright's final line on this, after the 15-2 loss, allowing 7 runs on 7 hits through 3 1/3, desperately trying to get to a win 200. He is probably not going to get there. And he has been placed on the IL. And so our little spate of, you know, a little or spurt, I should say, of fading Wainwright, but especially yesterday, coming to an end, at least it seems, at a minimum for now. So I just want to say, while we don't go back and talk about every bet, this is one of those when these situations come up, sometimes sports betting's easy. Sometimes we have these moments, it's like, yep, just do it.
Well, I thought you guys made a good point yesterday of the 200 win part of it, and hey, Could he be forcing a few more starts than he even should be?
Yes.
Sure looked like it was that was the case yesterday, but now he heads to the IL and maybe that dream of betting it here the next couple times is dead.
And the Cardinals, who owe him so much or feel that they owe him so much for a glorious career in their uniform, are content on allowing for the possibility of it to happen. So, like, yes, we'll roll you out one more time. We'll roll you out another time. So just want to keep, again, these moments in time just alert when they happen in the future. Let's be aware of them. And let's, if you didn't back the fade of him yesterday, if you didn't fade Adam Wainwright, the next guy that comes along, you know, maybe lean towards the instinct of, in fact, fading a pitcher in his waning days. By the way, and there's other guys that were never really good, like Hector Nwesi, Chichi Gonzalez in the past also, who were just horrific pitchers that, if you've bet baseball long enough, just wonderful, wonderful guys to start for your bankroll and to fade. Okay, the other thing now, we're going to talk Will Hill later, Shohei Ohtani. So the Angels just can't buy a break. So we mentioned the other day, Mike Trout, just the average swing and miss, eighth inning the other night against the Padres. Turns out he breaks his wrist. IL. Yes, there's an all-star break involved, but it's still a break. So he's out a month, maybe 2 months, depending on who you believe. So there's that. And so already then, the people from a betting standpoint, people who have the Shohei MVP tickets are sort of like, okay, you know, because how can Shohei not be the American League MVP? An injury or a trade to a National League team? Well, the Mike Trout thing was sort of the cousin of the injury thing, which is, okay, well, what if the Angels decide, ooh, you know, we're on the outside looking in, only two games above 500 right now in the American League playoff picture. What if that's a, you know, a check in the we should consider parting with Shohei column? Then yesterday, Anthony Rendon fouls a pitch off his shin, contusion. They're getting it checked today. Rendon's comment was it doesn't look good, was what Rendon said. And then Shohei, a start after splitting his fingernail, then ends up with a blister yesterday and has to be removed from a start. Gave up two home runs at the end, threw like the worst pitch you'll ever see him throw, and he's like, I got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And that was the end of that. And so now, if you have a Shohei MVP ticket, everybody's getting nervous. So Will Hill's going to talk about this later, what he's doing, because he's a guy with a Shohei MVP ticket, what he did betting-wise. I still don't buy it in terms of the Angels parting with Shohei. I don't think Shohei wants to. I don't think the Angels want to. And even if it's the even if it is the prudent thing to do in baseball terms, what any other team would do with a player in that position of an all-star nature, let's say, that the proper thing would be to be in a selling position at this point, given the injuries they have. I just don't think it applies to the Angels and Ohtani. I could be completely wrong, Kelly. But if you have Shohei Betts for MVP, do you do something about that? Do you play the field now at plus 500, plus 600, whatever it is?
Yeah, 500.
Which is exactly what and there is Shohei versus the field bet, so you could play the entire field. Or is this something where, honestly, my instinct is they're not going to do anything about it, and literally 2-3 weeks from now, it's going to be like, yeah, well, why did you think ever they were going to get rid of Shohei? Shohei doesn't want to go anywhere. And yeah. I only think I don't think he wants to play in a big market. I think the only other team that he could possibly consider is the Mariners, who, of course, his idol Ichiro played for and has a huge, huge Asian-American and Asian following as well for that franchise. So he would, you know, be even that much more comfortable than playing for the Angels if you look at it from that perspective. But it's Seattle, not a major market compared to, you know, the bigger ones anyway.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't if I had a Shohei MVP ticket bet the field, but I can understand why you would.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting that we talked about this bet yesterday, right? With these MVP versus the fields that DraftKings is hanging. And that, man, that Shohei number, I mean, it got chopped big time after that yesterday. He was minus 1,400, right, when we looked at that yesterday, minus 800 now today to win AL MVP. But yeah, minus 800 for Shohei, fields plus 500.
Okay. We'll get to that with Will Hill later, but that's certainly a you know, betting matter of the day for sure. How do you play that if you're involved? Wimbledon has been a start-stop proposition. This morning, we've even seen a couple starts and stops. But there is now sunshine in jolly old London. They call it jolly old London? I don't know if they do. But there's sunshine now. So we should be able to get in. Wimbledon should be able to get in, hopefully, all of these matches. And by all of these matches, I mean the ones that were scheduled for day one of this tournament, all the way into today's matches. So at this point, and I'll just go through the ones we have, we're 4-1 so far. 4-1 in completed matches. So we're off to a great start. We had a fourth win yesterday on Quentin Halys, who got it done in four sets yesterday against the Brit Daniel Evans. So 4-1 in pocket. Four other matches are currently going. Lloyd Harris is going. He just gacked the first set against Gregoire Barrère. Lloyd Harris is going. Tatiana Maria is going as well. She's down a set, but she's up big in the second set. She's trying to even that matchup. She's taking on Sorana Cirstea. And then the two others that are suspended that haven't resumed from the other day are Celine Naif, who is down a set on serve in the second set, and Jannik Hanfmann is the big one. That's plus 325. Jannik Hanfmann, who had a chance to break Taylor Fritz when it was love 40 on Fritz's racket in set number four, and Hanfmann was up 2-1. He couldn't get it done. Fritz held. They're now in the fifth set on serve, but that hasn't resumed either.
Pretty sure they've been in the fifth set since June.
That's correct. So 4-1 in pocket, four currently going, and four bets that have not started. Again, varying nature of when those matches were originally scheduled. The four that have not started are Maxime Cressy. Maxime Cressy still yet to start, minus 136. This was a match that was supposed to start yesterday. Cressy is minus 136. Yanina Wickmeyer on the ladies' side, minus 128. That's a match that was supposed to start yesterday, too. That is still to come. And then I only added because there's all this madness and all this mess about, you know, matches that are done, matches that haven't started, matches that are mid. The only ones I added here the rest of the day, Michael Mamot on the men's side, plus 110, taking on Maximilian Marderer. Mamot is plus 110. I think he should be a slight favorite in that one. And then one more I added, which isn't scheduled for today, but is scheduled for tomorrow, which is Veronika Kudermetova at minus 140. That's tomorrow. So really for today, the ones are Mamot, Wickmeyer, and Cressy. Hope that made sense. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick, what he's got going in tennis, his thoughts around sports betting globally as well. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM. For terms and conditions, must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house as well. We welcome Drew Dinsick to the show, kind enough to join us this morning for a couple segments. You can find him on Twitter at @whale_capper, Whale Capper himself, plus the podcast which he co-hosts, Deep Dive with Drew Dinsick and Andy Molitor, and then NBC Sports Bet the Edge. Drew joins us now from his lair in Long Beach. How you doing, man?
Yeah, much like Wimbledon, a little bit of a slow start. You know, it's that'll happen though, July 5th. But yeah, I hope you guys had a wonderful holiday. And
you too.
Yeah, you got a chance to spend some time outside. And yeah, it was a lot of fun yesterday. And I would trade a lot to get this tournament really going in sincerity here.
Oh, it's brutal.
We're still waiting for round one to wrap up, which makes it tough to really draw any conclusions from what we've seen so far. But, you know, hopefully the rest of the day weather agrees and we can, you know, wrap up some of this tennis.
I just went through what has been completed for me on my picks, what is in play for me, and what is yet to come. Do you have that same sort of thing happening with you?
Oh, yeah. A ton of liquidity has been locked up for days now. Yeah, we're on to day three of this Fritz match, which yep. I took a pretty decent live swing on Fritz there. Hopefully that he can come through.
I'm Hanfmann pre-flop, so I'm against you.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
You'll forgive
that.
Me if I want you to lose that one.
No, that should be a good finish, though. I'm mostly just tracking order of play, trying to find out when and where that match will be so I can watch it.
What is your best guess? Because I have not figured that out.
Sometime in the next 2 hours, I think.
Okay, all right. That works.
I really don't know.
Yeah, no one knows.
But the overall, though, you know, I've seen some, you know, some decent quality of play. I just wish that there would be a little bit more consistency in terms of roof open, closed, and, you know, not exactly understanding some of these decisions that they're making. But so be it.
Also, one of the things, and by the way, we'll get to what you still have penny. Well, why don't we do that first, and then I want a broader question about it. What do you have that hasn't started yet?
I have Cressy minus 1.5 sets of plus money.
Okay.
I think he takes care of business in short order over Laszlo Giri.
Mm-hmm. We are aligned.
I took the games with Liam Brody against Casper Ruud. I got 5.5 games of plus money. I think that's going to be a pretty competitive second round match there. and out of what has not started, those are the two.
Okay.
Everything else is just in the balance.
I do have Cressy money line on that match. I think that price is way higher than it was maybe when I got it. There's one of these matches that got away. Maybe that's the one that's much higher price. Let me check if that's Cressy, because I got it.
Cressy minus 150.
Oh, right, yeah. Now? I was minus 136. Nice. Yeah. So I don't know. You know, it's getting too high to play at this point, but if you haven't yet, but hopefully you played it when I sent it out yesterday. So, here was my other question about all these stops and starts. So when we got into the two matches at a time situation yesterday, which was most of the day yesterday, just center court and court number one that are covered in the rain, the decision that they make, and you understand why they make this decision, is usually the bigger name players get out there, right? So, oh, here's Ann Shabour, here's Sabalenka, you know, here's, I'm trying to think what the male equivalent was yesterday. But anyway, then there's this, isn't there also a built-in advantage even further for those bigger players, right? Because they'll have extra rest heading into whomever they play in round number two. So that's also a consequence of this.
100%, yeah. And that's always been one of the things you have to kind of keep in mind about Wimbledon and outrights. You know, they're not, you know, it's not preferential. Like, people paid a ticket, they want to see Andy Murray.
Yeah,
you know,
right. Andy Murray
people
was the
paid
one.
Mm-hmm. They paid a ticket, they want to see Iga, they want to see Ons, they want to see Sabalenka, they want to see the name players. And so the idea of getting those matches on kind of a normal schedule and everybody into their routines is just sort of a factor. I definitely. Been in Wimbledon's past where Roger Federer had a perfectly every other day he was playing on center court in perfect conditions. And, you know, he was into like round four and they were still like wrapping up round two matches.
I remember that. Yes.
That sort of sequencing, you know, definitely is a unique thing that you only really see at Wimbledon, because none of the other majors really, you know, have to deal, you know, too significantly with rain. But it feels like Wimbledon, this is kind of, you know, this is the norm.
Okay. By the way, was there any other, before we move on from tennis, was there any other, I mean, it's hard to make any conclusions so far. Do you have any macro statements?
Well, I mean, we kind of, I think we undersold how soft Iga's draw is.
Yes, I think we did.
And, you know, it was clear on paper, but it's, you know, having seen the way that, yeah, basically chalk is prevailing on the women's side so far. It's been everyone that you had questions about, maybe other than Coco Gauff is maybe the only exception. She's ousted, but you know, maybe had some issues or questions with Sabalenka's run up. She was superlative. Rybakina, even though she lost that first set, ultimately cruise control winner after she kind of got her serve under control in that very first service game. Although, you know, Rybakina does look really slight, you know, pretty clearly something happened, mm-hmm. you know, physically. She's maybe not, you know, as fit as she would be normally for this type of a tournament. So there's, you know, if she has like a real test at some point in week one, it'll be interesting to see how she bounces back physically. And, you know, everybody else that has looked pretty good is on the opposite side of the draw or out of Iga's quarter. You know, the Sofia Kenin Coco Gauff match was the best match of the tournament
yes,
so far.
It was.
Kenin comes through. That was pretty amazing tennis by her. You know, reminds you of years and years ago where she was challenging, you know, at the French Open and, you know, winning, you know, coming off of winning the Australian Open. Didn't know she still had that in her arsenal, but she does. And Coco is out, which makes Iga's, you know, quarter of the draw even softer. Yeah. So, yeah, this is going to go, you know, pretty clearly, I think, in her favor over the first, you know, four or five rounds here. And I would expect that, you know, she draws an opponent who comes out of the bottom half, who's, you know, a little bit battle weary. Right. You know, it's going to take a lot of your juice to get out of that bottom half. There's just a very, very thick section of, you know, high quality that is not going anywhere. So, yeah, I think realistically, this is as good an opportunity as Iga is going to have to win this tournament. And it does feel like she's playing with a little bit less pressure. Last year felt pressure filled every single time she was out there. And
well,
this
and
year
I
didn't
I,
feel that way.
Yeah, I would even say the French has become so like, oh, well, she's supposed to win the French. She's supposed to win the French. And she is supposed to win the French. But there's so much pressure involved in, you know, being the presumptive favorite that once she won that, I said it here on air, too. I'm like, oh, man, she can just play Wimbledon like, you know, loose now. Right. This is all gravy at this point. if she can win Wimbledon, now she's on the Serena pace at this point, right, in terms of age 22. So we'll see. But yes, I would agree with all of that in terms of if this would be her fifth major. Serena won six, I think, right about this time, similar age. So let's transition to the NBA, and we'll keep this over the break. Is there anything that has happened thus far, or maybe reading the tea leaves of Dame Lillard moving forward, that has induced any kind of bet for you, or at least has planted a seed in your head like, okay, if this happens, I'll look to do this?
I haven't made any bets in the NBA, but the Lillard storyline is going to drive a ton of market reaction, obviously. The Celtics right now would be the team for me to beat, team to beat in the Eastern Conference, I think by margin, as currently rostered. I'm not ruling out at all the chances that the Celtics are sort of late actors in a Dame Lillard, trade situation scenario. They can offer the best package, and I think it would probably behoove them to get what they can in terms of fair value for Jaylen Brown. And I think Lillard would be an upgrade specifically in terms of, playoff basketball, end of game situational advantages. Lillard really, really helps you take a step forward relative to Jaylen Brown. So ears open for that actually, emerging or realizing in any way. And if it does, then I think the Celtics are a pretty straightforward bet to win the East. If it doesn't, if he goes to the Heat and the market, gives you any kind of higher price on the Celtics than you currently see, I think then they're the play. So I would shop for something like 3-1 if the Heat flip them in odds after post Lillard trade. But it's pretty soft lean and not really, trying to lock up a ton of liquidity at this point, mostly willing to kind of let this play out. I think ultimately the NBA is in a weird transitioning time right now. None of the, superstars really move the needle the way they used to. And I think a lot of the young up and coming teams are going to have something to say about the playoff picture this year. So there's going to be a lot of turnover, I think, from the top to the bottom, a lot of churn in the NBA over the balance of the season.
Let me just clarify. If he goes to the Celtics, you love the Celtics. You already like the Celtics. Yeah. If he goes to the Heat, you're not feeling the same way quite about the Heat?
No, that would be a buy sign on me, for the Celtics.
For the Celtics.
Based on price.
Based on price. Right, because they would get longer. Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be my read.
All right, Drew Dinsick, one more segment on the other side. We'll talk, see if he's made any more football bets. He also just absolutely entertained us with Tour de France thoughts last time. Maybe if you want to bet some Tour this summer, he's got some names that he'll repronounce for us next. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we've just released our NFL Betting Guide. Our NFL Betting Guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19. That's United States dollars. Get your newly released NFL Betting Guide or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. I want to get Drew's football thoughts here momentarily, but we did 3 minutes unexpectedly last week on the Tour de France because you were telling everybody, and I remember this about you, you love betting the Tour. The Tour has started, correct? We're like a few stages in?
Well, much like Wimbledon doesn't really start for another week and a half on the men's side until we get to the final between Alcaraz and Djokovic, the Tour didn't really start until today. Today we have our first mountain start. It is the fifth stage of the Tour, and the first four were pretty warm-up-y. Not a ton of time exchanged in the general classification in the first four stages because they were medium mountains and flat stages. So it was more for the sprinters, more for the some of the other guys to shine. We enter the mountains today, and they're in the Pyrenees with a couple of pretty significant climbs ahead of them. And so far, it's been a surprising stage. I did not expect at all for the team Jumbo-Visma, which is reigning champion Jonas Vingegaard. His squad is very, very talented, but there's clearly interesting and very difficult to understand tactics going on because one of his teammates, Wout van Aert, is good enough to challenge for the general classification himself. He broke away today, and he's got a couple of minutes on the field. So if he can hold them off and win this stage going away, he's going to have the yellow jersey with a margin. And it's going to be very interesting to see the team dynamics, because I don't think that was their plan at all. And, you know, there may be some kind of internal tension brewing on Team Jumbo-Visma.
Okay, yeah. So the very ignorant question here coming, and I think I speak on behalf of most of the listeners right now who are not familiar with the ins and outs of the tour. So then from a betting standpoint, is there between stage betting then that you would perhaps lean towards? Is that what happens?
Oh, yeah. Okay. The outright markets open up. First of all, everything is on exchange right now and kind of reflects real-time probability of things, and that's kind of fun to watch. Between stages, the outrights will shift significantly. So, realistically, a fracture in Team Jumbo-Visma would mean a bet on away from them, which would be Tadej Pogačar. He would be the beneficiary of that. And UAE Team Emirates, who he rides for, has been a lot stronger so far.
Okay, let's repeat that. Let's repeat that, because Kelly's going to have to write this in the picks, and I think people listening are like, "What? Wait, what?" So
he ain't betting it. I'm not writing it down until Drew tells me I'm betting this.
So the person in the team that you will be looking towards would be who and who again? Who and what?
Tadej Pogačar. He's a Slovenian, Tadej, out of UAE Team Emirates. Basically, if there's a real tension or fracture on Jumbo-Visma, which is the strongest team, that hurts the reigning champion Jonas Vingegaard's chances of winning significantly.
I have no idea what just happened, but I think there might be a bet there.
I'm beyond fascinated with this, because they have DraftKings has live betting up right now for Stage 5.
Oh, they
and
do.
It's just like bleep, 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 bleep. I mean, it's changing every second because, you know, it's a bike race.
It's a bike race. Yeah. That's right.
Well, what was it, Drew? Wout Vanaert? He's 8-1.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. And so you can bet them per stage, and then outright still you can do so in between stages, I would imagine, too. So the Tadej Vindegar, or whatever you're saying, bet would be for the outright?
Outright, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because, I mean, we're in stage 5 out of 20. Right?
Okay. Right.
They haven't even gotten to the Alps, so you know we have a long way to go to determine our outright winner. And Vindegu, the reigning champion, is still the small favorite over Tadej Pogačar. But really, team dynamics is going to decide this one way or the other. Because if Jumbo-Visma come together and they pull for Vindegaard the rest of the way, then he's going to be impossible to beat.
Okay. Let's go to the Tour de NFL.
Your Tour de France update. Yeah. Brought to you by Toblerone.
Brought to you by no one. All right, NFL. We did NFL week. You were kind enough to join us for that last week and give some of your thoughts. Let's update those. What have you added? Or was one of those that you gave last week, did you want to sort of reiterate and emphasize?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I haven't gotten a lot of positive feedback on this opinion, so I'm either onto something that no one else is seeing, or I'm just completely off the reservation here. I think that the market is sleeping on the Pittsburgh Steelers pretty significantly. Steelers roster, it grades to me as a top 10 roster in the NFL. Defense grades as a top 5 defense, just in terms of player strength. And I think using a pretty conservative number for Kenny Pickett, you're looking at a team that I think has very clear playoff pedigree in terms of rating. And if Pickett takes any kind of meaningful step forward at all, then you're talking like this is a team that could get a high seed and be a factor in a very tight AFC North. So I'm pretty intrigued by the upside with Pittsburgh generally. I think their schedule is as soft as an AFC schedule could possibly look. It is basically what they ended up with there. It seems crazy to say, well, yeah, you're in a division with three very, very good teams and you got to play them all twice. How could you have a soft schedule? Well, the sequencing actually worked out pretty favorably for them. They get, a lot of games to start the season at home, not doing a ton of travel, a decent amount of rest advantage through the early portion of their schedule. So I think the Steelers are going to be a bet on. I like them. I like them week one versus the 49ers. We really don't, I don't have a read still on who's going to be the starting quarterback in that game. But you're talking about a Niners quarterback that's not going to have a ton of reps, whoever it is, behind an interior offensive line that has a couple of holes going up against a defensive front that's, you know, top five in the NFL. So Steelers, Niners could set the tone one way or the other for, you know, how the Steelers ultimately, you know, start the season. And I think realistically, that's a team that no one really seems to kind of tap as potential to, you know, be a factor in the AFC. But the, you know, the strength of the players available is pretty clear to me. So, and yeah, they have some depth too, so they should be resilient to injury.
So two things. One, Kelly has just texted me. He doesn't usually text me in segment, but he texts me. He goes, "Reminder: Mike Tomlin has never in capitals had a losing season," which I had no idea.
I wanted to make sure you knew that. Yeah. I wanted to make sure.
And two, what is the, you said you're getting a lot of incoming for this opinion. Besides, hey Drew, you're an idiot. They're in a division with the, you know, the Browns and the Bengals and the Ravens. What's the chief component of your argument that people have trouble with? Would you say?
I mean, it's price, right? You know, the Steelers are 5-1 or something like that. I don't know what the current number is because I haven't looked, but they're
+450 at DraftKings.
+450 to win the division.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, there are a lot of teams that are kind of lined in that range to win division that I have not even, nowhere close. Right. So this is, yeah, I mean, it's all price, I think, but, you know, kind of the other key, I guess, and you know, we're going to shift the narrative about Mike Tomlin this year, guys. Did you guys know he has never won coach of the year? Despite having a winning record every single season, he's never won coach of the year, guys. Mm. Never won it.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
That's a cousin.
There's prices out there that are pretty good, pretty darn good.
Honestly, we do talk, I know we're joking around a little bit, but we do talk about betting things by proxy, right? And coach of the year is always one of these creative ways to bet by proxy, because if the Pittsburgh Steelers were to win the AFC North, as you're saying, +450 ain't as sexy as 25-1. And one would think that Mike Tomlin, if the Steelers win that division based on expectations, would be, if not a shoo-in to win coach of the year, would be on the very short list to win it.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And especially because he's never won it before. You know, we got to get this man his due. He's never had a losing season and he's never won coach of the year. I think, betting by proxy is the exact perfect way to try to capture super high upside, which is where I see the Steelers. They have a top five defense on paper. If Kenny Pickett is league average QB for the entire season, if the signs you saw from Matt Canada's offense towards the end of the season last year are, you know, a bellwether of things to come, you know, that could be, you know, definitely a top 15 offense, if not top 10. And at that point, you're talking about a, you know, 12 win season. And, you know, Mike Tomlin is, you know, option one for coach of the year.
Wow. Okay. I was expecting to do more than one, but that was pretty impassioned speech for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I guess we don't have time for this, but I'm supposing you're also then part and parcel with that is you are less impressed with the other three teams in the division than the convention wisdom.
I am very impressed by the Cincinnati Bengals offense, but they have the degree of difficulty schedule-wise between the Bengals and the Steelers is an order of magnitude. Yeah, I think strength of schedule combined with just a kind of more complete roster has me into the Steelers.
Drew, football, Tour de France, always fascinating. If you could root a Tatiana Maria breakback for me, I bet I'd appreciate that as well.
Let's go, Tatiana.
Thank you, sir. Drew Dinsick, everybody. Whale_Capper. Kelly on the John Deere Classic next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place the same game parlay wager with at least four legs on any MLB game, and if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. BetMGM, that is, and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. U.S. promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, D.C., Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Nevada, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Call 877-8-GAMBLER. H-O-P-E-N-Y, or text H-O-P-E-N-Y, that's Hope New York, or 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico, in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. This offer is not valid to Puerto Rico residents. We got Puerto Rico in there, Kelly. Add on.
There you go.
To the old MGM promo. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback on the show. This is from Grayson Ross. Oh, a lot of people asking about Wimbledon. Grayson Ross, that's a couple hours ago. He said, is Wimbledon going to take a month to complete? It sure looked like it at that point, but it is nothing but sunshine now. So they're going to try to obviously complete days 1, 2, and 3 of matches before darkness tonight. This is from John Harris. Hey, Gil, is that Fritz match ever going to restart? Hopefully here at some point after these matches that started earlier today, that they will actually try to finish out the ones that stopped playing a couple days ago. That's for sure. Rich PSM. Hey, Gil, hoping to get into Wimbledon tomorrow. Secondary tickets way too high, but most seats are held for walk-up. Maybe I can live report on Thursday's show. Kelly, Rich PSM wants to live report on the show tomorrow. No? Nothing?
That might be difficult inside of Wimbledon.
Might be. Michael, could you imagine?
Phone call. Hey, guys, I'm over here. Court 3.
Michael Burns, I feel like I made tennis bets a year ago and they're still not graded. Yeah, that's kind of how it is. Robert Russo, thanks for everything you do. I'm sure you're getting ready for the show, but I was just trying to get ahead of things, wondering if there are any plays today. Yes, again, I only added, we went over in the first segment, the ones that have not started are Wickmeyer, Cressy, Momo, and then tomorrow already I have Kudermatova. But the ones today are Momo, Wickmeyer, and Cressy. Wickmeyer on the ladies' side, Momo and Cressy on the men's side. Thank you for all the tweets always at Beating the Book. We could go on with these. Oh, one more. Let me just read this one. Summer League is here. And by the way, Wembanyama expected to go on Friday here in Vegas. No defense and mediocre shooting. This is from Sean's Fox Plays. He said, fade the Lakers all summer. Take the over. Take the over in taxes. Some things never change. Tease the over Summer League. And he has Summer League picks there for us. Oh, and then New Jersey, New York, he said, fading Wainwright talk at the beginning of the show. He said, why is Patrick Corbin still an MLB starting pitcher? Get devaluation of the win-loss record, but he leads MLB in losses at the All-Star break after leading MLB in losses the last two seasons. What is the point here? Yeah, he has never panned out in a Washington Nationals uniform, that is for sure. Kelly did the old long shots thing yesterday. You guys did a live long shots on July 4th yesterday? Mm-hmm. Is that true?
We did.
You, Matt Brown, and Wes Reynolds?
Yep, whole 14 viewers, I think.
Greatest podcast about golf there ever was?
Yeah, that's right.
You guys just, it's not promoted enough, Long Shots podcast. You just don't hear enough promotion of it.
No, it's not.
This week, it's the John Deere Classic. Where would you rank? Give us a ranking. If we went through the golf calendar, where does the John Deere Classic rank for you in terms of betting opportunity?
Somewhere in the bottom five of the season, I would say, Gil.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I think this is the one of the weakest fields we have seen so far this season. Right at the top of the odds board, you're going to find Russell Henley right now as your short shot at 14-1. And it is Denny McCarthy at 16, Cameron Young at 16. And then we drop back Ludvig Åberg 28-1. This is about his fifth start on the PGA Tour.
How's it been the first four? I know you were super hyped on him.
Yeah, ups and downs. Yeah. Like he was, even last week, he was kind of in contention on Sunday, because there was a lot of guys in contention, and then he kind of took a step back. But, yeah, he's looked great so far. It's the years of dialing in those irons. That's what it's going to be for him. It's just getting in the approach play. So, yeah, that's what we're looking like this week. We're in Silvis, Illinois for the John Deere Classic. It's going to be another birdie fest. For people that have watched golf the past couple weeks, this is going to be another birdie fest this week. This is annually about the 8th, 9th easiest golf course on tour that they will play. You got wide fairways heading into pretty easy greens to hit. The only really struggle here is around the green play, or if you go way off the fairway, there is some long rough that you could get stuck in. Problem is, Gil, if you're stuck around the green too much, that means you're not on the green, which means you're not scoring, and you're going to fall behind the pack when it comes to the low scores.
Are we looking at another 25 under flirtation?
I would say around 20.
Oh, yeah, man.
We're going to see around 20. So, yeah, this is – I don't get heavily involved – in these type of events. I think if you do, you got to really look for some guys that are able to go really low. Look for some hot putters right now. You need someone to putt well. There's been instances in this event alone where we've had Michael Kim won this a few years ago at like 300-1. He had missed cuts in three straight events heading into it, Gil, and then gains over 13 strokes putting. So it's like it was literally a putting contest that year. The year Dylan Fratelli won it, he lost strokes on approach, but still won the thing because he putted so well. You just don't normally see that in tournaments. So a little bit lighter tournament for me as far as my outright card goes. Let's see, I've got four of them on there right now: Adam Schenck, Eric Cole, Emiliano Grillo, and Alex Smalley. Just taking some mid-range shots here, so it'll be a pretty lightly bet tournament for me. I do like Cole and Grillo though a lot this week. The only thing that's tough is when you get these low score, easy scoring events, that leaderboard can get real jumbled, just like we saw last week. I caution people on finishing position bets in tournaments like this, because when that leaderboard can get so jumbled, right, Gil, if you make your final three holes, you make two bogeys and a par or something like that, it's really easy for you to drop 15, 20 spots. So I didn't mess around as much with those this week as I normally do. As far as Grillo, over the past 4 months, seventh best putter in the field right now. So Grillo, that's always been the part of his game that struggled. He's really putting really well right now. We won on him, about 6 weeks ago, something like that. He's about top five in every model I ran. Recent results: T15 at the Travelers. Yes, he missed the cut at the U.S. Open. T48 at the Memorial, and then won the Charles Schwab. That's where we hit on him there. And then Eric Cole's the other guy I really wanted to highlight this week. He's been a guy we've been betting on long shots pretty much all season long. Kind of a guy that's come a little bit out of nowhere and had a really, really good season. He's gained over 3.4 strokes putting over his last five starts, top eight in every model that I ran this week. So really like Eric Cole, played him top 20, did play a top 20 on him pretty aggressively, and then also in outright as well. Those top 10s, Emiliano Grillo and Doug Gim, kind of swing for the fences. This is where I might normally bet these as top 20s, top 30s on a regular week, Gil, but with so much variance in that leaderboard, I always say if you're going to play in these finishing positions, play a top 10, play a top 5, go for that bigger payout. Adam Schenck, Alex Smalley, both these guys rated out high in the model. Schenck, another great putter here recently, at least, but mixed bag of results. He's had a seventh place finish, a seventh place finish, a second place finish, and then five missed cuts in his past eight starts. So a little bit up and down, just taking a swing on an outright with him. He does have two top 10 finishes here over the past 3 years, though. And then Alex Smalley, been great on his approach stuff here the past few weeks. Get a nice spike putting week out of him. Could be great. Was top 10 every model I ran, T16 at this course last year. And then the other guy who's really great with his irons, who has, I bet a lot about a year ago, haven't bet much recently, but it's Doug Gim. So he's actually had quietly some really good finishes here recently: 15th at the Travelers, 12th at the RBC Canadian, 19th at the Byron Nelson, 27th at the Wells Fargo. So put a top 10 bet in on him. And then, yeah, one tournament matchup. There wasn't a lot available. Also with July 4th, some of the books being a little sleepy to post stuff. So I might have a couple ads here today, but not much. Adam Hadwin over Keith Mitchell in a matchup. It's the only matchup I played. So not a whole lot of golf for me this week, but See if we can hit on one of these longer shots.
The return of Doug Gim to the golf segment.
That's right. It's been a while.
Open Championship is in 15 days, golf's final major of the season. Your bets, are they aligned with your long shots companions at all?
Who did Wes have yesterday? I don't remember who you said he had. We're not aligned. I don't know who Matt has. I remember Wes said he made two bets.
Who do you have?
I have Patrick Cantlay. It's the only thing I've bet so far. I just grabbed that at a 30 when I saw that a few weeks ago. I don't really know how much. I probably won't add anything until week of the Open, I would doubt.
No Rory bets from you. That's not going to happen.
Not yet, and I doubt it would happen.
Scheffler top five? The ATM machine?
Yeah, I mean, that, like, if we're going to talk, you know, if we're talking those three guys, I'd still look at Rahm and Scheffler over Rory. I know Rory's history at the course and everything. I'd still look at Scheffler and Rahm.
All right. Scheffler, the greatest ATM in sports, averaging over $1 million every time he shows up on a golf course.
Yeah, he's thinking golf is the easiest ATM in the world.
That's right. It is for him, that's for sure. We'll come back. Mike Pritchard on the NFL, our own Mike Pritchard. Will Hill with his baseball plays of the day. Jason Weingarten as well. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.